I was able, however, to follow the English of Hermann's close friend, Ole Marlow. Ole had just returned from the States, Caltech, where he had become very excited about the same bacterial viruses on which I had worked for my degree. On his return, he gave up his previous area of work and was now spending all his time on them. Then he was the only Dane working in this area, and so was quite pleased that I and Gunther Stent, a bacterial virus worker from Delbruck's laboratory, had come to work with Hermann. Soon, Gunther and I found ourselves going regularly to visit Ole's laboratory, which was several kilometres from Hermann's, and within weeks we were both actively doing experiments with Ole. At first, I occasionally felt uncomfortable about this, because I'd been sent to learn biochemistry with Hermann. Moreover, less than 3 months after my arrival in Copenhagen, I was asked to propose plans for the following year. This was not a simple matter, as I had no plans. The only safe option was to ask for funds to spend another year with Hermann. It would have been risky to say that I could not make myself enjoy biochemistry. Furthermore, I could see no reason why they should not permit me to change my plans after the second year was approved. So I wrote to Washington saying that I wished to remain in Copenhagen. As expected, the money was made available for a second year of study. I wondered whether Hermann minded the fact that I was seldom around. He appeared very unclear about most things, and might not yet have really noticed. Fortunately, however, these fears never had time to develop seriously. Through a completely unexpected event, I found I could stop feeling guilty. One day, early in December, I cycled over to Hermann's laboratory expecting another charming conversation which was impossible to understand. This time, however, I found that things were different. Hermann had something important to say. His marriage was over, and he hoped to obtain a divorce. This fact was soon no secret. Everyone else in the laboratory was also told. Within a few days, it became apparent that Hermann's mind was not going to concentrate on science for some time, for perhaps as long as I would remain in Copenhagen. So the fact that he did not have to teach me nucleic acid biochemistry was obviously a piece of good luck. I could cycle over to Ole's laboratory, knowing it was clearly better to deceive Washington about where I was working than to force Hermann to talk about biochemistry. At times, moreover, I was quite pleased with my experiments on bacterial viruses. Within 3 months, Ole and I had collected enough data for a respectable publication, and, using ordinary standards, I knew I could stop work for the rest of the year without being judged unproductive. On the other hand, it was equally obvious that I had not done anything which was going to tell us what a gene was, or how it could copy itself. And unless I became a chemist, I could not see how I would. So I welcomed Hermann's suggestion that I should go that spring to an animal study centre in Naples, where he had decided to spend the months of April and May. A trip to Naples made great sense. There was no point in doing nothing in Copenhagen, where spring does not exist. On the other hand, the sun of Naples might encourage me to learn something about the biochemistry of the early development of marine animals. It might also be a place where I could quietly read genetics, and when I was tired of it, I might even pick up a book on biochemistry. Without any hesitation, I wrote to the States, requesting permission to accompany Hermann to Naples. A cheerful letter wishing me a pleasant journey came by return post from Washington. Moreover, it enclosed a $200 check for travel expenses. It made me feel slightly dishonest as I set off for the sun.